Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by Peter Ponocorvo. Peter, how are you?
I'm awake. It is 8:28 a.m. Eastern time.
I'll take what I can get.
My day off.
Very good. You're choosing to spend your morning with me and your day. Well, I kind of asked you and you kind of felt guilty, and so that's why you're here with us. Okay. Peter, we're joined by our good buddy and our guest co-host today, Michael Black. How are you, Michael?
Doing great, Chris. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning.
Excellent. I've got my coffee in front of me. I had a donut that I just finished beforehand.
Anybody see the new one that's at Disney Springs?
No, talk to me about it.
It's an Italian donut stuffed with gelato.
Gotta eat that fast, huh?
I don't see why you would eat it any other way.
Correct. Okay, so we've already off the rails here. Let me ask you guys a question. What is the maximum you'd spend for a dozen donuts? Tell me price. What is the maximum you would spend?
Oh, I haven't even priced donuts, so...
Well, think about it. If you went to the store and you saw the price and it was $15 a dozen, are you good with that? $20?
Heck no.
$25? No.
Like, are we talking average donuts or are we talking like the old glazed and infused donuts or like voodoo donuts?
Okay, so here's exactly. Compare it like voodoo. How much does voodoo cost for a dozen? What do you think? What's a ballpark?
I don't know.
We should have had this information.
Voodoo's like a couple bucks a crack.
Yeah. So I did something that was completely out of character yesterday. I was having a unique day yesterday, and I wanted to kind of reward the family. My son and my daughter actually were completing their Stations of the Cross for their religious education. So I stopped at a place called Stan's Donuts. Have you ever heard
yeah.
of it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know how much a dozen donuts cost at Stan's Donuts? They have
Stan's. I think Stan's usually between, like, if you get the real basic ones, I think it's like 10, 12 bucks, and I think you can go like up to 18.
$20 for the basics. $29 for the mid grade.
Are you kidding?
And $37 for like the upgraded like donuts. But they have a pack where you can get it for $30 a dozen, and it offers 4 of the premium, 4 basic, and 4 mid grade. So I rewarded everybody. I bought a $30 dozen donuts yesterday, which is crazy.
Wow.
But I'm going to say that everyone in the family, like this morning, of course, like the worst parent decision ever. I filled my my 7-year-old's belly with...
Here you go, sugar. Off to school with you now, son.
That's right. It was a chocolate marshmallow caramel donut.
What?
Yeah. So, of course, I did the terrible parent thing. But I will say, everyone had their donut and looked at me and said, that was a really good donut. Thank goodness, because I literally spent $2.50 per donut. You know, I'd been really disappointed.
Did you send them with a note to school?
Yeah.
Dear school nurse, please administer insulin in the following dosage for my child.
And lots of water. In the morning? Lots of water. Anyway.
Holy cow.
All right, so we're on to the donut talk, but it was really good. So, anyways, we're moving away from that. In the Disney Springs donut, I'm going to guess that's about $4.50 for that donut.
Right. You know what? I don't even know the price yet. Maybe I'll stop there today and find out. I'll let you know.
Look at you guys. You guys. Oh, the jealousy just overwhelms me. Anyways, let's get to our show today. Today is going to be number 2 in our series of where we...
Whoa. Dude, yeah, well, you can't say it like that, man.
Why?
It'll be a number 2 in our series.
It is number 2. A number 2?
No, this is the second episode in the new series.
All right.
That sounds way better than the number 2 of our new series.
This is our second in our episode. Well, if the show is bad, if we keep on talking about donuts, it could be number 2 in the series.
You know? I was going to say, where Pete joins us on the number 2 episode.
Yeah, our number 2 in our final episode.
What?
Anyways, we're covering the news. So this is something that if you saw the first news...
Number 2 either.
No. We actually, I think, I'll be honest, I think we did a really good job last week, or at least the support... At least that's me.
Michael did a really good job.
That's true. My mom said I did a good job. Does that count for anything? My mom says it? No, not really.
Not even a little.
Not a little. All right. Well, this is
when your mom says I did a good job, that means the world. But when she says you did a good job,
just being
it
nice.
Really mean as much.
She's just being nice to me. The news topics for today's show, and today is Wednesday, April the 10th, but we're going to release this in a day or so. So this is really for the middle of April. And after the news show last week, you know, I texted Michael and I was like, do we have enough news for this week? I didn't hear a lot about it. But you know what? Honestly, the world of Disney news, it's crazy. In within a matter of a week, there's not one news story that we're going to talk on today that we talked about last week or rehash. There's a whole new series. And even if you didn't pay attention, we're going to get you up to speed because a lot of cool things happen. You know, and I was surprised. Anyways, without further delay, Michael, you wanna read us some of these stories here and we'll talk about it?
Yeah, we'll just go through one by one. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how it goes on this number two episode of the news.
I could use a donut right now. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we'll start with the Disney's Animal Kingdom Party for the Planet, April 20th through 22nd. And there are some really cool things with this, you know, with an exclamation point on a really, really cool. And there, this particular event that we're going to talk about, I can't imagine that there's any, will be any tickets left for it, but there may be. So we'll talk about it and we'll go from there. They basically, it's going to be a party for the planet, like I said, April 20th through 22nd. It's a 3-day event where guests can explore, engage, and connect with the magic of nature. They're going to have family-friendly experiences, educators, of course, at Animal Kingdom, conservation experts, so you can see firsthand, you know, kind of how Disney cares for the animals and all that sort of thing. What I was talking about earlier is there is a very cool thing, which is Tiffin Talks, which is a special dining experience. April 20th through 22nd from 1 to 3 p.m. And it is going to feature Joe Rohde, which is, of course, the Imagineer that was behind Disney Animal Kingdom and many other things. And you can join him for a conversation about his travels and everything else as far as it's a meet and greet, basically. Mm-hmm. And you get 4-course lunch featuring global dishes, desserts, and specialty beverages. The pricing is $199 plus tax and gratuity.
Wow.
So I think it's a really cool experience, and the price is high, but I'll tell you what, meeting Joe Rohde would be about the pinnacle of my Disney experience. So what do you guys think?
Peter, what do you think?
Well, let's see.
Because that's your restaurant, too. That's your favorite restaurant, too.
Favorite Imagineer currently. It currently works for the company. Yeah, $200 plus tax and tip. A little tough.
How much does Tiffin's cost for lunch anyways? What would that cost me if I didn't have Joe Rohde there?
If it was just you, You'd be under $100.
Okay. But it wouldn't be like $15. I mean, you're talking a substantial amount anyways.
It'd be like 60 to 70.
Okay. So a pretty cool experience, though, wouldn't you agree? I mean, for a couple hours.
No, absolutely.
You know, and if you're going to do it, please bring your digital external recorder to get the conversation for me. So that'd be really cool. You know what? Honestly, for all the things that they offer, like the fireworks package and stuff, which seems kind of not personal, this would be a really cool personal experience. I know space is going to be limited, and there'll be, 50 or 80 people or 100 people there, but still, you're going to hear some really cool stories firsthand. Michael, I also wanted to say on that very same day, Peter Panacorvo is going to be available for a meet and greet over at the Flame Tree Barbecue, and that cost is $0 to attend for Peter's, and you will have the opportunity to talk to Pete about Animal Kingdom too, right? That's part of the day too, right, Pete?
Yeah, sure. Space is limited.
Very limited.
Just call ahead so I know if I need to show up or not.
Table of four. So on that day, I saw there's also going to be some cool Lion King merchandise, right? They're going to go and have, the spirit jerseys. They're going to have a Hakuna Matata spirit jersey, which actually looks really cool. So they're going to do a whole bunch for Earth Day, which is, of course, when did they open the park, Michael? Was it on Earth Day? It was.
1999.
It was.
1998. No, 99.
Well, I know it was Earth Day. I know it was Earth Day.
It was Earth Day 99, I believe.
Okay. Michael, what do you think about that? Worth it? Not worth it?
I'll tell you, I think it's worth it. And like you had said, especially if we're comparing it to some of the other events that they offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is just a personal thing for me and my family, is if we can experience something for free, we're definitely not going to pay for it. And that's the hang up we have with a lot of fireworks packages or even Mickey's Not, or Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I think the reason we haven't gone to that is because later in the season, you can go see the parade during the day for free. So there's a lot of experiences that I think that if you can get them for free, somehow we will skip them. But there is no way that you're going to have this experience unless you pay. And I think the price is fair. I mean, because the demand's going to be there. So mm-hmm. you can't have it be like $25 to go have this experience.
Sure.
And like you had said, the price of the four-course meal alone, you know, it's going to get you up there close to where you need to be. So I think it's a great thing.
Cool. What's next, buddy?
Are you ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah. Let's go down the tracks.
That was a good segue there. The next story is basically Virgin Trains USA, the line from South Florida to Orlando, with presumably and hopefully a stop at Walt Disney World and Orlando International Airport. There are some lines that are going to hopefully link up to some stations, and if all goes well, it seems that you may be able to take a train ride from South Florida to Walt Disney World, but also more importantly, a train ride from Orlando International Airport to Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead, Pete. What do you got?
Is this SunRail or is this the high speed train that they've been working on?
Well, from what I understand, and of course, this is all me trying to kind of patch things together, that this Virgin train line from West Palm Beach to Orlando, but they also have, it's supposed to link up with SunRail's Meadowood station. So I think there's some linkage going on between the trains. So obviously using the same station, but for different trains.
Okay.
So it's sketchy to me. I've always hoped that they were going to do, I had always thought Disney was going to do some sort of monorail or train directly from Orlando International Airport, but
Them to connect the rest of the parks with the monorail. You think they're going to connect to the airport with the monorail?
That's true. But this is
that'd be great for people coming into town, but monorail rides before you even hit property, that'd be incredible.
This is actually, you know what, I think this is a really cool story. And you know, I'm obviously, I don't live in Miami, but if you lived in Miami and you had a drive from Miami to Walt Disney World, you're looking at a heck of a long day. You're looking at like how long is that? 4.5 hours, maybe more if you were driving. So it's far enough where you're not going to go in by car because it's a long commute. And you're probably going to be, you're not going to really want to go on the airplane as well, because by the time you get through TSA and board the plane and get off, it's almost, you could have driven. So this is actually a really cool option. It almost feels like in a bizarre way, it's like a throwback to like original Epcot, you know, when Walt built, you know, or in at least in the video, he had plans on having an airport dedicated right on Walt Disney World property. So to actually have a high speed train, and I know I've been on a high speed train before in from London to Paris, you don't even feel it getting up to 125 or 100, you know, 100 miles an hour. It's really smooth. So I think I think it's pretty cool.
The problem is, and Michael, I'm sure you've seen it too, they don't know how to like be pedestrians around a normal train here.
You mean Floridians?
Yeah. No offense to my fellow Floridians, since I am now one of you, but like a high speed train, people keep getting hit by the SunRail.
Okay, well, that's something they'll have to tackle. They'll have to figure that out eventually. But this is going to be – it's going to open in late 2021 or perhaps early 2020. And, you know, Richard Branson, who is the president of the Virgin Group, you know, and I know he's a big supporter of this. So they did sign a letter of intent. So that was last year, saying that we intend on doing this. Now, what that's worth, I don't really know. But I know they signed a letter of intent. So cool. You know what? The only thing that I would say, the only part that gets me a little nervous is this. You know, Miami's obviously a very large population. So is South Florida. I don't know if they really need more people right now. You know, they seem to have quite a bit of people in the park right now. But if I was a resident of Miami right now, I'd be pretty happy about this. So, you know, would you guys agree about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Moving on.
All right. Moving on. I'll tell you what. I think Pete will like this one, this story okay. here. And it is the photo pass opportunities around Liberty Square in honor of the 13th attraction at Walt Disney World to offer Disney's photo pass capture. And that would be the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I've seen the new photo capture from the attraction now.
Yeah, and I think I'll tell you what, we kind of did this in the three words thing last week when we mentioned it, and I said it's about time. And I'll tell you, I think more than any other attraction, people want something to take away from that. And it's not like you can just whip out the camera and take a picture because it's so dark. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to capture anything. So, and plus, you don't want the flash photography and all that ruining the attraction. So I can't believe it took this long. I think it's convenient that it's the 13th attraction that.
I think that might be what they were waiting for, actually.
You think? Because it does work out perfectly. So, and yeah, these are going to be around April 13th. So today, when this is released, probably be, what, the 12th?
Mm-hmm. It's already out. It's out.
Close to it. All right, so let me ask you.
Phil and Teresa Sheingold were just here over the weekend, and I've seen their picture from On Haunted Mansion.
Cool.
Oh, no, that's there, but I'm talking about the photo pass captures around Liberty Square.
Yeah. Where
they're going to have special opportunities.
Pete, ones, Pete. Let me ask you, Michael, let me ask you both. Which one interests you most? So if you were there in the daytime, there's a photographer near the exit of the Haunted Mansion, and they're going to be having a tomb, sweet tomb prop. Okay, and that's during the daytime. So that's your option one, is you taking a picture of the words tomb, sweet tomb on a little sign. All right. There's also going to be one in front of the Haunted Mansion, which will make the hitchhiking ghosts appear in the photo. Okay. Or that's option two. Or you could have a picture with the Hatbox Ghost magic shot near the entrance of the riverboat. And those are going to beginning all day and even as early as 9 o'clock in the morning. So which one? The Tomb Sweet Tomb, Hatbox Ghost, or the Hitchhiking Ghost? Which one appeals to you most?
Ghosts, for me.
The ghosts? Michael, what do you think?
It comes down to the ghosts, and I think the Hatbox Ghost. I think I like that shot.
Well, you notice plus, I just said the ghosts. I didn't specify.
You did say the ghosts.
I meant all four.
You meant all of them.
So I think for me, just only my head would be in there, and we wouldn't have to see the rest of Big Michael. So yeah, I would go with that.
So is that how you're trimming, making yourself seem just a disembodied head right there? Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, pretty cool. And that isn't that expensive, correct? That's actually relatively inexpensive for that experience. If you go and you want to buy the picture, right? It's like it's special price. It's $13.13 plus tax, right? So it's $13.13.
That's exciting news. I just, you know what, when I see these photo pass experiences, I just think, oh, it's included with the pass. I don't even think
we
anymore.
We get to cheat.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, are we moving on?
Heck yeah.
I know. We're just zipping right through these stories this week. Okay, we're coming to one that I think is okay and needed, but we will push it out there. Walt Disney World is now charging handling fees for front desk and in-room grocery deliveries. And they actually have raised it a little bit from what it used to be, from what I hear. Not much. But basically, Walt Disney World Resorts will now charge a $6 handling fee per order for all in-room deliveries, as well as for any package or grocery holds received through the front desk. So, you know, a lot of people, to save on you know, their luggage, they will go ahead and order groceries or items they need from Amazon to be delivered to the resort, which is very smart. But I could see to where it would get a little overwhelming and probably has become such for Walt Disney World, to the point to where now they are going to charge the $6 handling fee. What do you guys think?
Well, first off, Michael,
charging a fee.
If actually, as I read the story earlier too as well, it's not per order. It's per bag. It's per bag. So if you went to Walmart and you had four giant grocery bags stacked with food, first off, you're probably missing something.
It says it is not per bag. It says it's per order. The article says, note that this is not per bag, but per order.
Okay. Well,
that's changed.
I'm looking at a news story from WW News Today, and as we scroll down a little bit towards the bottom of the page, it does actually state that this is. You're right. I'm sorry. I read this wrong. You're right. I'm sorry. I was mistaken. Because I was thinking, if you bought four bags, like, that would be like $24 there. And if I did that, then I had a case of water. You're right. I'm sorry. It is per order. Thank God. Because I was thinking, boy, that's really, really expensive. Well, you know, that got really pricey.
It was per box.
Okay. Okay. So.
Because people were ordering so much stuff from Amazon and having it held.
Yeah.
That it was starting to cause issues with storage space.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad we fixed that.
For it.
So, what do you think? I actually agree with you, Michael. Yeah, this is fair. They're doing a lot of this. They're having to run a lot of these up to the rooms. I do it. You know, when I have my stuff sent there, or I'll have them hold my groceries. I agree. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes manpower. And then, you know, that same person might be wondering why their luggage is getting delivered at 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, because they're delivering my groceries too, you know? So yeah, they only have limited amount of resources as far as like staff hours and ability. So I think it's a good idea, and it's only $6 anyways.
Yeah. I think for the amount of money it's saving, I mean, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. With airlines charging for luggage and weight and all this stuff, they would end up paying for extra fees for that. And you know, the fees for that would far exceed the $6 handling fee mm-hmm. that Disney's charging you. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it needed to be covered to let people know that that is the case. It's going to be there.
Especially if you're a Prime member for Amazon. So, I mean, then you're not even paying for shipping anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it as a shipping charge. No big deal.
Yep.
And that $6, even if you tack that $6 on your order from Walmart or wherever, or Amazon...
Mm-hmm.
And this is the truth in terms of price comparison. If you went and tried to buy very similar groceries at the store on Disney property down in your...
Oh, down in like the grab-and-go sundry store?
It's going to be a lot higher than $6. So
yeah, really.
You know, that's just a little service fee. I think actually, though, it's warranted. And probably actually, and I'm not saying that I want to do this, if it went to $10, $12, or even $15, like that wouldn't even still... That wouldn't bother me because really... How often are you doing that? Like, you're going to do it once per trip, right? You're going to send over your groceries one time, you know, at the beginning of your trip. I guess if you're there and you're from Britain, you're spending a fortnight, so you're spending 2 weeks. Maybe that's different, but even still, is that really going to think about how often you spend $15 frivolously at Walt Disney World? This shouldn't bother you. It's not the end of the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely not. And I tell you, when you're talking about how much they charge for things, we recently stayed at a resort at Universal mm-hmm. down the street. And Cameron actually had a fever that night. And we're at the hotel, and I'm like, oh, he's got a fever. We didn't bring the children's Tylenol with us.
Did he want more cowbell? No?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I had to do it.
I'm sorry. At the cost of your child being sick.
I was going to say, there's a sick child.
I had to do it. So,
anyway, I went down and I'm thinking, the child's sick. I've got to do something about this fever. I can't just, you know. So I go down there, and of course they have it. They have some children's Tylenol, and it didn't have a price on it, which is scary enough to begin with, because why wouldn't they put a price on this? So I asked the gentleman, how much is it? $12.
Boom.
For a little bottle of children's Tylenol.
It probably had like 10 or 15 tablets in it.
Yeah. That was the liquid. So, yeah, like a bottle. And I'm thinking, man, that's two and a half times the price I would have paid it. But, you know, you pay it.
Yeah.
So, and with this story here, I'm like, with Amazon, could I have got it same day delivery to the hotel? No, probably wouldn't have made it in time. But yeah, those fees are kind of crazy, the difference in price. All right, we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
I digress. The next story is guest experience team added to Disney's Hollywood Studios. So there are guest experience teams stationed throughout Magic Kingdom. So they're kind of to assist guests with booking or modifying fast pass selections, maybe trying to figure out the My Disney Experience app, why it's not working, deactivating magic bands, reactivating, things like that.
So personally helping guys like me who don't do any planning show up like the ignorant dude that I am, and I need help really quickly. Those guys are there to help me, pretty much, right?
Well, everybody, come on. Everybody's got their own issues with things that are going on, and it's much easier to have these stations throughout the park without having to go all the way up to, you know, guest services. Mm-hmm. And have this fixed. So I think that's a great idea. Well, they're extending this to Disney's Hollywood Studios, which I think is a fantastic idea, because with Galaxy's Edge coming, I'm sure there's going to be some questions. Needless to say, maybe some folks coming to the park that haven't before, and the questions will definitely be enhanced, as will the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think this is a good idea, bad idea?
I think anything that will help improve the guest experience is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And let's,
because not everybody's is versed in how everything works down here as we are.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what, Pete, you're 100% right, and I'm just going to use an example. So, our friend Lisa Yost, she hasn't been to Walt Disney World for a while, and I know the next time that she was going to visit, it was based upon her husband saying, we'll go once Galaxy's Edge opens up. But a lot of things have changed, a lot of technology has changed, and a lot of the way the park is designed has changed. So, and Lisa's smart, but let's just say Lisa and Kenny ends up over there, and they've got their two kids. Yeah, it'd be nice to have someone on hand to say, hey, I appreciate you coming down here for the first time in a few years. Let me help you. I agree with you. And based on how crazy that park's going to be, they better have a whole battalion of these people walking around, you know, with some extra free fast passes in their pockets, because, yeah, they're going to need it. And there's going to be a lot of people unhappy that day because they didn't think it was going to be as crowded as it was. And it's going to be, like, monumentally crowded down there. So, yeah, good. I'm glad they're launching that. And anything, like you said, Peter, to make the guest experience better, really good.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than, you know, being kind of hung out there to dry. At least you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you spent all this money, every minute that ticks by that you don't really know what's going on, it can cause you to feel like you're not having the experience you need. I kind of liken it to the trash cans, how there would always be a trash can every so many steps because, you know, if you have something in your hand, you're more likely to throw it away if you can see or mm-hmm. can walk to a trash can. I think it's the same thing. If you're walking around and you have a question and you can look up and so far away you can see someone that can help, that's going to alleviate a lot of time spent panicking, so to speak,
or, yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, lessening your experience. And I saw some comments on this article of the source where I got it, where they were like, well, if Disney wouldn't make things so complicated, then we wouldn't have to have this much help. And I don't see any merit in that argument, because I think people will always need help. There's always somebody that needs help. And even if it's just to find a restroom,
mm-hmm.
well, how much easier can you make putting a restroom somewhere? But someone's still going to need to know where that restroom is.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what technology they roll out, what fast pass system they roll out, whatever it is, people are still going to need help even with the basics. So having these folks there does, I don't know how it hinders the guest experience. I think it only enhances it.
They're going to also be trained, you know, obviously in how to handle, you know, heated and emotional situations with guests too, because they're going to be the front line for anybody that goes there expecting a magical Galaxy's Edge experience and has a 4-hour wait. That person's going to be a little hot. They're going to be looking for a cast member. So I'm going to bet you that these guest experience teams are going to be the best trained customer service agents Disney's has. So if you want to look for them, they're going to be identified. They have a blue shirt. It's got guest experience team logo. It's giant, and it's got the Tower of Terror on behind it. But again, when you were there, not that we can, you know, impart our will on your vacation, but realize it's going to be very crowded, and realize that you know what, this might be your only trip, but probably won't be, and you are in control of like your experience on that day. So if you come there with heat in your collar and you're ready to, you know, argue, that's the kind of day you're going to bring to everybody, you know? So just be considerate of everybody. And these people are there to help you. They are not there to be a dumping ground for you and your frustration, but they are there to make your day better. So
absolutely. And right now they say they will roam the park, but they can also be found at these locations during the park hours. And that would be on Sunset Boulevard near Tower of Terror, Pixar Place near the entrance to Toy Story Land, Echo Lake near the entrance to Path of the Jedi, and Center Stage near the movie cameraman statue.
Okay.
So that's where these locations will be initially, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, the next story, and this is exciting to me. We've been kind of watching this for quite a while, and that is the Grapefruit Garage at Disney Springs. So another parking garage at Disney Springs will open April 16th. Now, we already have Orange and Lime, which are your prime, you know, parking garages right there. And then now there is a third garage, which is Grapefruit, that is across the street from Lime, I believe, pretty much close to it, with a walkway over there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an enclosed, or not an enclosed, but a raised walkway like they have if you park on the surface over by the casting building.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, any capacity, and I know that it seems crazy to think, well, the more cars, then it's just going to make it crazy crowded at Disney Springs. But seriously, the parking situation was so bad for years and years at Disney, well, at Downtown Disney at that point, that this to me, now that I go, when I go to Disney Springs, I know I'm pretty much going to have a parking place. Unless I go Friday night, Saturday night, I may have an issue if I want to get in that Lime garage.
But you know what? Actually, Lime isn't, it's because, believe it or not, Lime is generally where I always park. If you go up to the 5th and just park on the roof, there's always spots. I've gone there at 8 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday night, and I can find spots.
There usually is, but that Lime garage will typically say it's full. You just have to, you know, push on through.
Yeah, especially since their parking program right now is being upgraded. So they don't have the lights in the Lime garage right now like they had. So
anything to make the guest experience here better too as well. And I know, Michael, like you said, more cars equal more crowds. But in my experience at Disney Springs, yeah, it's crowded, but the traffic does flow much easier now than it did before. I don't know if that's just my mind wishing that to be the case, but I've often felt that even on the most crowded nights that I've been there, that I'm still able to walk around and enjoy my experience. I don't feel like it's like a herded cattle moving from one side to another.
Oh, definitely, especially now that they opened it up with the bridge across, and just the flow of traffic is a lot easier than that straight, just horizontal line that it used to be. Disney Springs, you know, is one of my favorite places. I may not get to the parks very often, but I will always get to Disney Springs. I always get to the resorts. So, and I think that has to do a lot with not wanting to deal with the crowds of the park. So Disney Springs typically isn't an issue, but like I said, I think opening these parking garages it's fantastic, because then that's part of it. I'm never one of those people that has to park in the first spot. I'm one of those people that wants to get to my spot quickly. And if I have to walk longer than I do, that doesn't matter to me. So it actually gets a little frustrating, Pete, like you were talking about. You know there's parking spaces on the fifth floor, but you can't get through the people who for some reason have to have that spot on the third or the second. And you're like, can I just get through? I just want to go to the fifth.
Just get out of my way, please.
Let me ask you guys, World of Disney, new versus old, what do you think? Good, bad?
Oh, new.
New? Michael, what do you think?
Yeah, it's grown on me.
Mm-hmm.
So much easier to get around in that store now.
Very, very easy, yes.
And it's not even a comparison for me.
I did enjoy the old, like, motif, like how it was raised above, and it was very characteristic and very, like, cartoonish. And it doesn't look like that anymore, but in terms of convenience factor right now, yeah, it, way better. It almost is like the World of Disney at Disneyland. It's a very long building, but it's like an open floor plan as opposed to the former World of Disney, which was not open at all. So, yeah, much more convenient.
Yeah, and I also love the fact that the way they've done it enables them to switch displays and switch, you know, different mm-hmm. things as it goes on, because mm-hmm. they have the projectors, the TVs, and the screens and stuff. And there are also a lot of those interactive elements in there that I love, like the pictures on the wall
artwork,
that move.
The sketches and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's absolutely incredible. So, yeah, I've come around to the new World of Disney.
Cool. Moving
All
on.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving on. We've got the Monsters at Work series coming to Disney Plus. We're hearing a lot about the stuff that's coming. I just can't wait till it gets here. But they are going to have the original Mike and Sully voices, so Billy Crystal and John Goodman, doing this animated series for Disney Plus. So what do you guys think about this series? Are you excited about it? And how about Disney Plus itself?
This makes me sad, because I know I am probably not going to have Disney Plus, and the fact that it's only going to be on Disney Plus, it upsets me.
Why do you say you won't necessarily have Disney Plus, Peter?
Because I already pay for streaming on two other platforms, I am not adding a third.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Very good. Really pretty cool, though. I mean, to actually get the original voices. I mean, these are A-list. I consider them A-list type celebrities, John Goodman and Billy Crystal. But to actually have them come and do this just for a animated series, that's really cool. It's not just them, though. It's, you know, John Ratzenberger, Jennifer Tilly. You know, so really pretty cool that they would attract them. I also read that, like, Henry Winkler, you know, the Fonz.
Yeah, the Fonz is going to be part of it.
The Fonz is going to be part of it. So, yeah, I think that's really phenomenal. I will, you know, I pay for a couple different streaming networks, but I will definitely pay for this, too. This is going to be a no-brainer for me. If I can afford the money for the WWE network for my daughter and my son, then I can afford this for myself.
Yeah, and they say it's going to be, from what I've heard, Bob Iger says it will be comparable or not less than Netflix. So what, we're talking $10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a no-brainer for me, too, because we have Netflix, we have Hulu, we have Amazon Prime, so of course we have the Amazon Video, but that technically comes with it. But I have no issue paying for this, because I think it's really going to take a lot of the content that my family loves and put it all in one location,
mm-hmm.
which... because what they have said is that shortly after release, that they will have the entire library of, you know, Disney films available, which that's incredible. I've had to carry around the animated films on DVD from house to house for years, you know, to be able just to hook up my Roku or mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. and just watch any movie that I want. Plus, I think the most exciting aspect are the new series that are coming out. They can do short 6-episode series of any Marvel character they want. And yes, I'm talking about Marvel. I'm actually excited about it. Or Star Wars series. Or they can do anything they want. And when we're talking about this Monsters at Work series, that's exciting to me to be able to, you know, we get all excited about these Netflix series like Stranger Things, at least I do. Or, you know, whatever else is on a streaming service. Well, it's exciting to me to get excited about those types of things in my world, mm-hmm. you know, the Disney world.
Agreed.
Here's my question. Are you going to get rid of one of your other streaming services, though? Because when you look at it, $10 for Netflix, $10 for Disney+, $8 or $10 for Hulu, now you're at $30. I mean,
we're
cutting the cord was supposed to get cheaper. It seems like it's just getting more and more expensive.
Well, we're still not to the $88 that I would pay for cable, which I don't watch. Hmm. So I'm still okay with that aspect. And I've thought about it several times, and I used to think, well, who would pay $2.99 or $1.99 or whatever it was at the time for an episode of like Big Bang Theory on iTunes? Like, who would do that? And then I thought, well, how many times am I going to watch Big Bang Theory in a month? If I only watch it five times a month, that's $10. But I'm paying $80 to have all these other shows that I don't watch accessible to me. So I think it just becomes a cost analysis type thing to where what are you watching less? And it might not work for everybody, of course. But I think our family, it definitely will. I think we will use it enough to warrant the $10 cost.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, I hope you guys do. I don't see in my house, especially being that the only big Disney fan really is me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it getting utilized enough to make it worth $10 a month to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and you're probably at work or at the parks themselves.
Yeah, right? Well, I'll just get my. So I'll find a friend that's got it and just swipe his login like you do with every other. There's four people that actually pay for Netflix.
Probably.
And HBO Go. Like, if I know one person that has HBO Go, but I know a dozen people that watch Game of Thrones on their phone while they're at work. I don't know how that happens.
And it's not me. It's not me. So
I'm saying it's one of you. I'm just saying.
I don't think this represents the views of the entire WW Review podcast. Nor Theme Park Brothers or any of its affiliates.
But I did see a meme the other day, and it was like, what do you call that? I forgot the... It's an animal. They always look like they're rabid. Cripes, help me out here, brothers. Wolverine? What is it?
Wolverine? A badger?
No, keep on going. Like, cripes. A possum, and it had like 20 possums on his back, like as a mama walking across the road, and it was like the actual example of a Netflix user, you know, and it was true, you know, that like, so anyways, moving on. I apologize. It took me forever to come up with that animal. It's embarrassing, but okay, go ahead.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to skip. I know we've got these in a list and you all are looking at the list and you're thinking, oh, here's the next story, but I'm going to throw you for a loop here, because I want to talk about the next item on there. I think that'd be a good thing to close the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to talk about something away from Disney for a bit. Pete, you can go get a cup of coffee or, you know, whatever you'd like to do.
No
problem. I'll just start playing a game or something on my phone.
Well, we're going to bring you around to the dark
side. He's watching Game of Thrones right now, just by the way, just so you know.
So we're going to head over to Universal because they have, this was a little bit ago, but we didn't talk about it last week. So we will talk about Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure, which mm-hmm. is a new attraction coming to Universal's Islands of Adventure in Hogsmeade, Wizarding World of Harry Potter, hashtag this, that, and the other. I'm very excited about this attraction, even though I will not and could not ride this attraction. But the details that have been told about it are just so cool. I'm sounding so nerdish right now, but it's a roller coaster experience pretty much. But you know, anymore, it's not a straight roller coaster. There are other elements of the attraction itself. I'll let you know, I'm kind of going to read here a little bit mm-hmm. from the article I have. But it begins as you join Hagrid's Care of Magical Creatures class and board magical motorbikes specifically designed to make you feel the freedom of flight. So you find for your journey, you can either ride the motorcycle or board the adjacent sidecar, providing two unique experiences. I think that just sounds really cool. But for the first time, you'll soar through the Forbidden Forest and come face to face with some of the Wizarding World's rarest magical creatures. But as often the case with Hagrid, things don't go as planned. So here are some of the bullet points, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The new experience combines a new level of storytelling and innovative coaster technology, and it includes an actual forest with 1,200 live trees. You experience a freewheeling coaster flight where you go twist, turn, and rush forward, speeds up to 50 miles per hour in the dark forest. You encounter some of the Wizarding World's rarest magical creatures, such as a centaur, a swarm of mischievous Cornish pixies, Fluffy the three-headed dog, and even one that's never been seen in the films. So that's pretty cool. And then you will hurl past challenging obstacles and drop into an endless pit of Devil's Snare. And this is the part that fascinates me. I know that I had shared, and there was a video going around that looked like it was the actual ride, but a fan had put together, with the information that they had gained from what they had heard, and put together kind of a POV.
Mm-hmm. I watched it. It was really cool. Really cool.
And it did look really cool. And I'll tell you what, if it's close to what the real thing is, that person should be, their subscriber count should go through the roof. Just saying. Mm-hmm. But that particular part in the Devil's Snare, there is a coaster at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, and it's called Verbolten. And this coaster, you go into a dark place, basically, and then all of a sudden, it Tower of Terror drops you, okay? And then you move on with the rest of the coaster. So I think, from what I'm getting, that could be the experience that you have on this Hagrid's motorbike experience or adventure. Mm-hmm. And if that is, I think that is just incredible, especially for people who love coasters. That Verbolten coaster is Christina's favorite that she's ever been on, because she says it's fun, but it terrifies her.
Well, so Devil's Snare, though, Michael, so my Harry Potter knowledge is not nearly as strong as some of the listeners of the show, but like, I remember Devil's Snare, and it's in the first movie, and like, you have to relax, and then you pass down through, and then you fall through the bottom. It doesn't look like a sharp type drop to me. So do you think it's going to be something where it's like a drop? Because like, in my mind's eye, like, that's not how like it appeared in the movies. Like, well, you know, it had to like release its vines around you, and like, you know, so
it did. But that initial or that final release, you are free falling down out of it. Yeah, the initial, you're kind of like, if you're not relaxed, you're struggling. So it would be a slow, just kind of devouring you. But then as you do relax, and maybe that's built into the ride, to where they're like, relax, you've got to relax to get through this. And then, boom, you drop down. I don't know.
Awesome for the consumer going to Orlando, knowing that these two parks are running neck and neck with innovation and detail and, you know, immersion in all of their lands and rides. So awesome for the person that's going to Orlando on vacation. And I'm sure it's going to be like the coolest thing since sliced bread. So awesome. Fabulous.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Pete, you can come back. We're going to talk about
Peter.
talk about the nighttime shows at Walt Disney World, the new shows that are coming. And even as soon as last night, which I didn't even add to this, they gave more details about our beloved Illuminations and when it will be going away, and the new attraction will be taking its place. So are you ready to discuss this?
September 30th? Is that what I heard?
No. Yes. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's October 1st. You're right. I'm sorry.
But the new one starts October 1st. Mm-hmm. The one I love is going away on the 30th.
So yes. We had this discussion, Michael. You said our beloved. So I would say the fireworks show that I enjoy, but I don't use the words beloved with this show. But
he's not one of us, Michael.
No.
I was going to say, I Illuminations, I, even though I haven't seen it as much as I should, that's just because, remember, we talked earlier about how I'm not really a night person. So staying at the parks that late is my true issue. If they could have Illuminations at like 6, that would be helpful.
Right after the early bird dinner?
But that's not going to happen.
The retirees and whatnot. Okay, very good.
But yeah, as far as a show goes, there's nothing that quite gets me like Illuminations. It always has. It has always given me chills, goosebumps. I'll tear up. I remember when we used to go from Ohio to Florida for vacations. That was the pinnacle of the vacation for me, personally. So there is more sadness over this than there was over Wishes leaving, for sure. And I don't know. So you don't, you, Chris, don't really mind. You're ready for something new.
No, but so here's what, like, I can't say like it's going to make or break my vacation, but I'll be honest. You know what? I've seen Illuminations and it's cool. It is fun. It's not like the highlight of my day. And I think inherently based upon our age, we're all three around a very similar age. I think what really actually makes me happy to read this article is the new show. It's called Epcot Forever. And here's what makes me happy. So it celebrates the history of Epcot, fireworks, lasers, lighting effects, and a soundtrack of classic Epcot songs. So that really appeals to me because I'm a big dork at work, in the car. Like, I play a lot of the Epcot songs, you know, Living with the Land, and I'll play Universe of Energy, and I'll play, you know, even before that, I'll play, you know, Exxon's, Universe of Energy, and you know, even the original opening Epcot music from 1982, and the music that I heard with the Danny Kaye special when he's there with Drew Barrymore. So, like, the chance to actually see that, it's like, okay, so everyone's going to be upset about Illuminations. So what can we give them to counteract that? I know. How about for everybody who ever says, you know, that Epcot has lost its, you know, its character and, like, isn't true to what it was? Well, let's revisit that in a fireworks show, in a laser show. Like, okay, how do you argue with that? Like, that seems to be really smart, and I'm excited for that. That'd be really cool. Peter, you're kind of quiet here. What's going on?
Still not going to be Illuminations.
Well, this is
I still prefer Wishes over Happily Ever After.
Okay.
Now, Happily Ever After has grown on me a little bit, but it is still not in the pantheon of Wishes for me.
Okay.
So what you're saying is it's going to take a good 4, 5, 6 years, maybe, with the new...
Maybe. If they're lucky.
Wow.
I'll tell you, the thing that, like Chris had mentioned, what kind of may save this is the fact that I am pretty sure they're going to reuse some of the music, which isn't the case, really, with Happily Ever After and Wishes. So I think even if in Happily Ever After they would have paid a little bit more homage to Wishes throughout the show at some point, that it may have more quickly endeared itself to you. And I think that's what they will do with Epcot, because of course this show's been around for 20 years. So, and I know Wishes was around forever too, but as far as if they're talking about Epcot and they're trying to showcase all that Epcot has been over the past 30 years, well, they're going to have to include the music or parts of Illuminations, which has been there for 2/3 of that time. So, I think that will help the cause. I'm hoping that the technology, I don't know what illuminated kites are, but that sounds cool. I have no idea what that is. But I'm excited to see it, and we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to see what they do, whether or not it's going to replace Illuminations for me, and that I'm not going to say.
Well, Pete, you might have one last chance to kind of look at Maelstrom in some unique version in this fireworks show, you know? You might get a chance.
Yeah, well... How long ago did those two chicks ruin that ride?
Oh, we're not going to even get into that. No, no.
Hey, you brought it up.
Man. I did bring it up purposely just to open up that fresh wound.
Nobody to blame but yourself on this one, bro.
All right. So
all right, that's all I got, Chris.
That is all you got. So, hey, one more thing, too. You know, I was reading about, I read the same article here, songs like One Little Spark and Magic Journeys, along with some of the songs that are currently in Epcot as well, too. But they haven't had obviously a soundtrack is still in production. But you know what? I'm going to actually say that for as much as I told you I wasn't excited, I'd be more interested in seeing this on October 1st than seeing the last Illuminations the day before. I would like to see this show prior than the last show. So what that counts for. Okay, so that is the news for today. Anything left, boys? Anything left you want to talk about? All right, so here's my question with you. Michael, when we were down there together, this was back about a year and a half ago, 2 years, our families met up at the Disney Springs show. I know we talked about the springs earlier in the day, but remember you and I, we went and hit this brand new thing. It was the drone show over the village lake there. I think that's what they call the lake there, over by the springs. So I haven't heard hide nor hair of the drone show. What's the story with that? Where is that gone?
You're not going to.
I have no idea where those things went, because I don't know if they're now security at higher levels that we cannot see. No clue where those drones went. They had, what, like 1,000 of them?
Right? We watched this show, and they had 1,000 of these things in the sky. Pete, any idea? Where are these drones right now?
DJI wanted them back, so they changed the name of them. That's all.
Okay.
Now they call them Illuminated Kites.
Illuminated Kites. Nice. Soon to be appearing in Epcot Forever. So, okay.
Yeah, great.
You know what?
I'm a little concerned about all of these, like 1,000 drones just sitting somewhere in a warehouse at Disney, when they're going to unleash these things.
Well, I think that's actually the reason that show stopped, like legitimately, because they were told they couldn't fly these things out over people. Mm-hmm. That's why that was done over the lake. The problem is they have to launch from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a limited runtime. So that was the problem with that show.
I remember seeing the show, though, and thinking it was pretty cool. It was actually kind of like a fun show to watch, but of course it just might have been because it was the newest thing. But
yeah, it was cool for what it was. But mm-hmm. I think after the second or third year, you'd be like, okay, what else can these things do?
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
oh, it kind of makes a star-ish pattern if you look at it with one
that
eye.
Is true. That is true. It was a little obscure. You had to imagine. That is true.
But I can't wait to see them as illuminated kites.
Kites.
Yeah, no, it'll be great as illuminated kites.
Hey, and don't doubt for 1 second. We're joking about this. Don't doubt for 1 second that was the trial run to see if it was manageable, you know, and to see if they could actually do something with them, not only in the nighttime, but also perhaps in the daytime, because those kites that might be illuminated, those could also be, you know, a real display in the middle of the day with smoke and whatnot. And I'm not saying there's a fireworks show in the middle of the day, but don't doubt for a second that's not going to actually appear. And that was the trial run anyways. But, of course, that could all be just speculation. Anyways, all right.
Could be speculation, or it is speculation.
It is speculation, but think of the, you know, the line of delineation from why they started to why they disappeared, and then once they had their, you know, their sufficient test phase, they're like, okay, we could do this. This works. Let's stop. Let's refine it, and then we're going to release it for good at the real show that we need to release it for. Because truthfully, was it making them any money? Was it bringing any extra people to Disney Springs? That's arguable. Probably not, you know, but now we just talked about Epcot Forever with a guy like me who isn't motivated by fireworks shows. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, October 1st, I need to be there, you know? So perhaps.
And I think that you opening this up, I think that the members of EDCOT, for sure, will have a heyday explaining where they believe the drones have gone. So I cannot wait to see this discussion.
Yeah, this should be interesting, if nothing else.
Cool. All right, so we appreciate you listening.
Bob Iger's trunk.
If you have, did you just say they're in Bob Iger's trunk?
Either that or Bob Chapek's using them for spare parts. Right. One of the two.
They got these awesome drones in their backyard. If you have any comments, let us know. The WDW Review Facebook page, the Theme Park Brothers Facebook page, at Theme Park Boys on Twitter, at WDW Review on Twitter, or join our group, which is called EDCOT, EDCOT. You have to answer a few questions, but we're more than happy to go and let you in. So for my buddies Peter and Michael, we'd like to thank you, and we want to wish you a great day.
See you, everybody.
See ya.